He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It is the September 16th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we've got an okay start to the day. I see tech is slipping here from the open, but still in the positive territory. We've got the Dow right now up 115 points. We're at 28,111. A little bit weaker than expected retail sales hitting the market somewhat today. The S&P is up 11 points. That's a third of a percent. The S&P 500 is at 3,413. The Dow is above 28,000 at 28,110. The NASDAQ's up about, 19 points right now. It's above 11,000, 11,209. But remember, we hit 12,000, so we're down about 800 points from that crazy intraday high of a couple of weeks ago. The Russell 2000 up 9 points, 0.6%. Crude oil's up $1.01. Hurricane Sally helping the crude oil markets today, $39.29. Gold, another good day for gold, $6.60 per ounce to the upside. $19.72 is the price for an ounce of gold today. $27.46 will get 6 cents will get you an ounce of silver. It is flat today, and we've got the 10-year yield really quiet. Boy, the bond market with zero interest rates as far as the eye can see. We're at 0.67 on the 10-year this morning. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, yesterday we had a pretty good day in the market. Now, the Dow finished basically even for the day, but the tech sector, NASDAQ, was up 1.2%. And usually when the NASDAQ has a good day, it's a good day for the mega caps. How many mega caps are in the tech sector these days? Well, there's a lot of them. A lot of mega caps. That's $100 billion or more. Maybe even more than that by today's standards. But those were the two standouts yesterday. The mega caps, which many of those mega caps are technology stocks. They've become mega caps. The Fed meeting on tap here today on Wednesday. They'll release their findings tomorrow. We're expecting no change in interest rates for the next 27 years or something like that. We've also got Hurricane Sally coming ashore in Alabama, disrupting the oil markets a little bit. And global markets pretty quiet here overnight as they await the Fed. The Fed always moves markets when they speak, and the Fed will speak sometime tomorrow. Retail sales, what are retail people, consumers buying right now? Well, core retail sales for August missed expectations. It came in at 0.6. Plus 1.0 was expected, but you've got very strong spending on the home improvement, Home Depot, Lowe's, and of course Amazon. They did just fine. Grocery store sales, 9% higher. That's because people aren't going to restaurants as much. They're cooking at home. Wayfair doing well, Etsy, the online retailers doing very, very well, and the home. But I got to believe the bad side of this equation is the bricks and mortars, which continue to be chipped away at. The Fed is expected to signal no rate hikes through the end of 2023. Gee, I hope I'm around by, still around then. Get ready for another Fed-filled session following the recent symposium in Jackson Hole and the first meeting since Chairman Jerome Powell announced a greater tolerance for inflation. I still remember Gerald Ford's button that he wore, whip inflation now, win. We haven't seen inflation really for a long, long time, and the Fed would actually, I think, probably welcome a little bit of inflation. Well, the Nikola saga continues. It's been an interesting story to watch. You know, I saw an interview with Trevor Milton, the CEO of Nikola, maybe about 6 months ago. And I kind of said to myself, either this guy is a con artist or he's brilliant, maybe both. Sometimes these kinds of people are both, but he was making some outlandish claim about the hydrogen fuel cells in his cars. The water comes out of them so pure that he's actually going to have a drinking fountain to get a cold drink of water out of his trucks. And I thought, you know, this guy's got a big mouth. He's making a lot of claims here. And I really think that this is turning into a big fraud. We shall see. I mean, if it does, it's going to be one of the biggest frauds in the history of the market. I mean, it's right up there with Theranos and Enron and WorldCom and others. Another twist in the Nikola saga arrives with the Financial Times reporting that the Department of Justice has now stepped in. And this all because of allegations made by Hindenburg Research earlier this week. Now, you can't find Hindenburg anymore on Seeking Alpha, but he does have a website. I want to say he's out of Europe somewhere. You can go to Hindenburg Research to read his two scathing reports on Nikola. GM is standing by their partnership with Nikola. I don't think GM wants to admit, of course, you know, that would be a natural thing for them to do right now, would be to defend their position. But that wouldn't be too good for GM if it was shown that GM was duped by Nikola. Nikola was down in the after hours about 6%, and now I see the stock is actually trading up today 4%. Okay, in the meantime, at the center of all of this Nikola stuff is fuel cells. You know, Elon Musk is infamous for calling fuel cells fool cells. They've been around for a long time. You know, the theory is putting water in them, and the water is transformed into hydrogen, and the hydrogen provides the power to run the truck, the boat, the car. We're not really seeing any big application of it yet, but it seems to be making headway. Another stock I keep an eye on is Ballard Power, BLDP. They've been around for quite some time. They're one of the bigger fuel cell stocks. They introduced a high-power density fuel stack for vehicle propulsion today. And they signed a memorandum of understanding with Audi. So we'll see. You know, the fuel cell market, there was an announcement about 2 weeks ago that fuel cells were coming to fishing boats and tugboats and boats around the world. But so far, I mean, I don't see Ballard taking off, blasting off. If they really had something, you know, if you want to know the veracity of a story, I look at the stock's reaction. And even though Ballard has announced this new fuel stack to propel cars, the stock's up 2 cents today. Okay, you see what I'm saying? You get what I mean here? Okay, yesterday I mentioned a IPOB, I-P-O-B, as being a hot new IPO. It was up 21% out of the gate yesterday. Wait till you hear the IPOs today. This is the biggest IPO day of the year. There's two extremely interesting IPOs today, and I'm going to talk about those a little bit later. And who was the big winner from yesterday's Apple unveiling? Well, it's not what you would think. It's a stock that we own, and it had a huge pop yesterday after Apple's big event, which kind of fell flat. There wasn't really much there, but we got a big winner out of it, so I'm happy. This is Bill Gunderson. A lot of interesting stuff to talk about here today. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Our NASDAQ up a paltry 8 points right now. Seems to be a little bit of shine coming off tech today. While the Dow's up 132, the Dow is definitely being helped by FedEx today, even though it's not a Dow stock. It's a cyclical. So you've got a cyclical Wednesday taking place right now, and tech's taking a break right now. You know, that shows up here. Oh, I want to go back to IPOB just for a minute. IPOB. Today's a huge day. I added about 10 new IPOs to my Best Stocks Now app today. There's a couple of really big ones, too, that I've been waiting for that we'll get to in a bit. But yesterday was IPOB, which is Open Door. And Open Door is a real estate IPO, a very well-known CEO taking this company public. And there are some bold claims out there about this being the next 10-bagger and whatnot. You know, I'm always very wary of bold claims. But I have added IPOB to my watch list. Every single day here at my firm. I look at a lot of stocks. I have several little groups. I have one little group of stocks that I own. I have another group of stocks that I like that I'm looking at. I have my little group of A-plus momentum stocks. I have new IPOs that I keep my eye on. I don't want anything to slip by me, you know, if something good comes along. Okay, let's talk about Adobe for a minute. I think this is kind of typical of what's going on here in the market. Adobe had blowout earnings. Adobe beat by 16 cents. They beat on revenue. The stock was up about 3% in the after hours. They guided a little higher going forward. If tech were behaving normally, Adobe would be up today. But instead, it's down 2.7%, 2.8% right now. I do own Adobe. It's one of the great disruptors of our day, large cap growth stock. But it is down 2.7%. The title of my newsletter last week was Beware the NASDAQ. Now, that doesn't mean I think the NASDAQ's going to crash this week or next week. But if you look at a chart of where the NASDAQ has gone from March of this year until the day it hit 12,050, it has gone on just a sizzling, incredible run. And, you know, the P.E. ratios are getting loftier. You do have that nosebleed sector of the NASDAQ, which has just gone beyond all reasonable valuation measures. And you know what? I mean, sometimes this stuff has to rest. It has to consolidate. And so I just, you know, think you have to be a little bit careful right now. I think valuations are very, very important. And I think technicals, watching charts, very, very important. You know, I'm a guy that draws a line in the sand on everything that I own. And if it crosses below that line in the sand, which hasn't happened too often recently, but we may be coming up on a time where, you know, some of these weaker stocks and some of these more high-flying stocks are going to get shaken out a little bit here. So we will continue to watch it very closely. It's disturbing to me to see a stock like Adobe beat earnings estimates and then respond with a sell-off. Okay, FedEx, on the other hand, may be a little bit indicative of a little bit of a move away from tech into cyclicals. FedEx is trading at a P.E. ratio of 21 right now, okay? By contrast, Adobe's trading at a P.E. ratio of 52 right now. The last time I looked, the average P.E. ratio of the NASDAQ 100 stocks was 51. That's pretty rich, pretty rich. So sometimes what they say, this move is a move away from tech to cyclicals, but in my mind, it could also be a move away from really high P.E. stocks to lower P.E. stocks. That's a way of lowering risk in your portfolio as we continue to approach what's going to be a very contentious election, okay? Working from home due to COVID continues to decline. 24% of workers telecommuted in August. Well, my firm is a telecommuting firm. We have a nationwide firm with clients all over the country. And we do have a virtual firm. So we had that before COVID. So I guess we are on the cutting edge out there of what's going on today in the world. But we're down at just 24% now. That's down from 26% the month before. Congressional report slams Boeing. Slams Boeing and the FAA over 737 MAX failures. It's a damning report. The House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure have released a 238-page filing in the works for 18 months that paints a Boeing that prioritized profits over safety. Numerous design, management, and regulatory failures during the development phase of the 737 MAX had preceded the preventable death of 346 people in two crashes of the popular jetliner, as well as an FAA that was unable to ensure passenger safety. So you had a problem here with government and private enterprise. They were the horrific culmination of a series of faulty technical assumptions by Boeing's engineers, a lack of transparency on a part of Boeing's management, and grossly insufficient oversight by the Federal Aviation Administration. Well, and of course, Boeing stock, too, has been pretty much dead here for since June. It had a good run. It bottomed at 89. It ran up to 234, and now it's just stuck in about the $165 area. We haven't heard much about Russia's vaccine. I do laugh when I say that, excuse me if I'm skeptical, but Russia's going to supply 100 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine to Dr. Reddy's in India. You know, we heard that initial, and of course it's called Sputnik, is their little cocktail, their COVID cocktail. And anyways, we'll see. But Russia, still out there, one of the players. China also supposedly has a COVID vaccine. And Moderna is building a footprint outside the U.S. They're getting ready. They're signing a deal with Switzerland. So the COVID race continues. The word today is once a vaccine is approved, it'll go out the next day for distribution. When will that be? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half. Well, the NASDAQ has slipped just below the line, down 5. I was expecting that. Usually when something goes in a direction, it continues to go in that direction. It's going to be a soft day. I think Apple really didn't wow anybody yesterday with their event. But we did get a big winner out of that. You got a lot of IPOs today. That's going to be really interesting to see where these stocks open. You've got the Dow right now holding on to about a 100-point gain here. All right, let's take a look what else is going on here. Quite a bit, actually. We've got Moderna. I mentioned that. Apple. Okay, yesterday. Let's first check in. I got to believe that Apple is soft today because, generally speaking, as Apple goes, so goes the NASDAQ. And the Apple is down 1.3% today. Apple recently hit 138. It's down $24 per share in the last couple weeks. Part of this NASDAQ sell-off and weakening of the NASDAQ. Apple got up to a very, very rich P.E. ratio when you consider their growth rate, and it has come back down. It's not a $2 trillion company anymore. It's $1.96 trillion. The P.E. has come back to 35. Oh, they had an iPad Air with a 10.9-inch liquid retina display. I can't wait to get one of those. An iPad 8th generation. Apple One, massive Apple bundle, including iCloud, Apple Music, TV, arcade, everything Apple, and fitness for $15 a month. They launched their fitness, which has workouts every week. I don't know if the CEO there, Tim Cook, leads the workouts doing jumping jacks. Remember Jack LaLanne? I used to like to watch Jack LaLanne doing jumping jacks. That was the black and white TV days, old Jack LaLanne. Well, I don't think Tim Cook will be doing jumping jacks anytime soon on the Apple app. Peloton shares didn't even budge, so it had little impact on Peloton. Who was the big winner? Taiwan Semiconductor. Taiwan Semiconductor, look at the chart yesterday. Yesterday's Apple product event, the tech giant launched new watches and iPad models. Okay, that was what Apple announced. The iPad Air update includes the new A14 Bionic chip, which has sent shares of foundry partner Taiwan up 7%. That was yesterday. You know, I looked at my stock yesterday. I look at my holdings every day. I go, what is going on with Taiwan Semiconductor? TSM. Well, now I know. Apple will be using their new A14 Bionic chip in their new watches and iPad models. We continue to own Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, which also pays a healthy dividend. We own it in the dividend and growth portfolio, pays a 1.5% dividend yield. You got to like it when a stock is hitting new all-time highs, which it did yesterday, the big winner out of Apple's big event. Okay, we've got Amazon planning 1,000 delivery hubs in smaller towns. It's all about that last mile. Delivery hubs, the new hubs will eventually grow to 1,500. Amazon going head-to-head with Walmart and Target. And doing their own deliveries, going head-to-head with FedEx and UPS. Amazon is quickly building out its delivery plane fleet also. So Amazon, they're doing just fine. Amazon. AMZN today is down a little bit. Weakness in the NASDAQ. It's down 0.7%. Okay, Alibaba discloses new manufacturing digital factory. They're unveiling their new Zunji digital factory, but I bring this stock up because Alibaba's really behaving well recently. I own Alibaba, $740 billion, you know, half the size of Amazon, but a lot cheaper, actually, than Amazon. Alibaba's P.E. ratio is 35. Amazon's P.E. ratio is 121. I own them both, but I like the action right now, the chart of Alibaba very much. Let's see where Alibaba is ranked in my Best Stocks Now app right now. It is ranked at number 31 out of 5,355. It was ranked number 8 yesterday, building a new digital factory. Chipotle lands a lush target price from Baird. Let's see what Baird has to say about my Chipotle. Chipotle is soft today. It's down $1.80, but they get a $1,600 price tag. I would agree with that. Chipotle CMG is currently trading at $1,275. Okay, now for the IPOs. Well, first Facebook. Facebook under pressure today. I do not own Facebook. Not only does Facebook have a, it's got a double whammy today, an antitrust suit by the FTC, which it's been preparing for a long, long time, possible antitrust suit. But here's the big news. Kim Kardashian West freezing Instagram and Facebook accounts, shares dip. Okay. When Kardashian freezes accounts, stocks move. Facebook having a very bad day. Facebook is down. Oh, it's down 1.6%. No great shakes. Holding on to support. Pretty good looking chart, actually. Okay, this IPO market today. Unbelievable. The two big ones are SNOW, that's Snowflake. This is coming from the guy who brought you ServiceNow, one of the greatest winners of all time. It's in our wall of on our wall of fame here at Gunderson Capital. We found it with the Best Stocks Now app, and we still own ServiceNow. Well, now Snowflake coming out. Just add an S in front of the symbol, and it's S now, S-N-O-W. Snowflake is a big cloud company. It's coming public at a very, very rich multiple, a very rich valuation, $21 billion, $75 per share. Now, that's the opening price. That's Warren Buffett's price. That's the price he got. Where it opens is another question. This thing could open at $120. It could open at $90. So that's one to definitely watch. I have it on my watch list going forward, but today is opening day for Snowflake. But the one that I am really watching, besides Snowflake, is Amwell. This is the third teleservice or telehealth stock to go public. This is the one that Google invested a lot of money in. I'm a big believer in telehealth, that it's going to continue to become a big trend. Teladoc was also on my wall of fame here. Another huge winner that we found here at Gunderson Capital Management very early on. So Amwell, we'll see what happens. Today is opening day. The gate will open. It'll come out of the gate. We'll see how strongly it comes out of the gate and where it goes from here. AMWL, another one to keep your eye on. In addition to that, I added to my app today Unity Software. That's another big one, symbol U. That's a video game maker, which has a direct rival of two Epic Games. You've got a food packaging company, Pactiv Evergreen. You have JFrog, F-R-O-G. You have Sumo Logic, S-U-M-O. Stepstone, S-T-E-P. Vitru, V-T-R-U. Dyn Therapeutics, D-Y-N. Outset Medical, O-M. And Metacrine, M-T-C-R. All going public today. But I'm especially keen on Amwell, A-M-W-L, and Snowflake, S-N-O-W. Okay, last but not least, before we go to our final break here, Scientific Games. You know, that's another really hot sector. Gambling. You know, it's not enough that you can gamble on Robinhood with bankrupt stocks and any kind of Kodak and other things. But gambling on sports, big-time business, DraftKings, you've got Penn, and now you've got Scientific Games, SGMS, to keep your eye on. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back with the feature stock.
This is Bill. You got to go.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow up 70. NASDAQ definitely taking a big turn for the worse, which looked like it was headed in that direction. We're now down 45 points on the NASDAQ. I'm going to feature a stock that I don't usually do. It's going public today. Okay. But, you know, I'm a big believer that telehealth is going to be a continuing trend of the future. And this stock is well connected, including a big investment by Google. Whether you like Google or not, whether you trust Google or not, you know, they are involved in the healthcare industry now, if they're not involved in enough other stuff. So it comes with a pretty good pedigree. Amwell, A-M-W-L, which is American Well Corporation. That's kind of a weird name. I thought it was an oil driller in the Gulf of Mexico, but no. It's a telehealth company enabling digital delivery of care for the healthcare sector. The Amwell platform is a digital care delivery solution that equips its health system and health plan, including government clients. I think that's a key there. You know, if we get a Biden administration, if Biden were to win, I would expect to see a single-payer healthcare system come to the fore. I think that's a no-brainer that there would be a big attempt at that. And I think companies like Amwell might play a big role in something like that with their ties to Google and possibly government contacts also. All right, includes government clients with the tools to enable new models of care for their patients and members. Its technology embeds with its clients' existing offerings and clinical workflows, spanning the continuum of care and enabling care delivery across a range of clinical, retail, school, and home settings. So, you know, I mean, with the COVID and not being able to face-to-face and sitting in a clinic and sitting in a waiting room and all this and that, Amwell plays well into that. The Amwell platform consists of the home line where you can dial up from your home direct to the doctor. It consists of the provider to patient telehealth interactions, okay, which is another platform, typically in the home and the hospital line, supporting provider-to-provider telehealth interactions, okay, or provider-to-patient, typically in an independent or ambulatory setting. The company offers a range of management software, clinical workflows, CarePoint hardware, and system integrations to deliver care across various modalities, including video, phone, and secure messaging. Well, it's very much a teledoc. It's out of the gate today. We don't know where it will price at. That's all we know is right now it's priced at $14 per share, a $3 billion market cap. It looks like their annual sales are about 72, doing this in my head, 120, about $135 million in annual sales right now. I like their last four quarters. Sales up 22%, sales up 58%, sales up 60%, and sales up 94%. That's what we call accelerating sales. And I think they're going public at a very good time as far as their sales cycle goes. Now, it doesn't have a rating in the app. It will start establishing some statistics here soon as we download data every day. I can't rank it, but we're definitely going to keep our eye on it on Amwell. It's one that I've been anticipating and watching for quite some time because I knew they were one of the biggest competitors to Teladoc, and recently I saw that investment by Google into the stock, which also caught my eye. So anyways, that is the Amwell story. We'll make that our featured stock of the day. All right, well, that's part of what we do here at Gunderson Capital Management is, you know, I'm not buying Pfizer. I'm not buying Merck. I'm not buying the big old stodgy old stocks of yesteryear, although Pfizer is playing the vaccine game and might have something here. We try to find cutting edge, whether it be large cap dividend payers, whether it be new technologies in the emerging growth sector. But we also try to match the risk factor to your risk tolerance. Risk and risk tolerance have to match up with the plan that you have. And, you know, we do have a defense here. We don't just have the offense on the field all the time. We do right now. But I'd say right now I have about a 20% cash position, and I do have a few hedges out there, as I do think we're going to go through some volatile times here over the next several weeks. But having said that, we're 75% invested right now in what we believe are the best stocks now. Otherwise, I wouldn't own them. It doesn't matter what portfolio, we strive to own the best stocks now in each of those portfolios. If you'd like to talk to one of my advisors, we've been telehealth for a long time, taking the health of your portfolio at Gunderson Capital Management. You know, I've talked to some of my colleagues in the business. Their business is way down this year because they do face-to-face meetings in the old way of investing, asset allocation, and this and that. We've had one of our best years ever navigating this environment, and we continue to move ahead and be one of the best firms out there now. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. You can go to our website at Gunderson Capital Management and order up the latest newsletter to see the kind of work and depth that we put into our research every single week here at our firm. And if you're with someone else, it's very easy to transfer your account and put it under our watchful eye. GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.